a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business on Tribune. The headlines we are tracking at this hour. Healthy progress, China and Honduras benefit from first year of diplomatic ties, strengthening bilateral relations, regional development for Regional Development World Forum for Asia commences in Hainan Province, fostering regional development discussions. And turbulent weather, U.S. aircraft maker Boeing announces corporate shakeup amid safety concerns impacting air travel industry. Chinese President Xi Jinping has exchanged congratulations with Honduran President Aris Xiomara Castro Sarmiento on the first anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic ties. President Xi said in past year, the two sides have adhered to mutual respect, equality, mutual benefit and common development. He said he is ready to work with President Castro to consolidate mutual support, expand cooperation and jointly write a better future for relations. President Castro said China is an important partner of Honduras. The country will adhere to the One China principle. Celebrations have been held in the Honduran capital over the past few days. Our correspondent Paulo Cabrillo reports.
As China and Honduras celebrate 1 year of the establishment of diplomatic relations, there are already positive developments to speak of. The occasion was marked with events over the last few days in the Honduran capital, Tegucigalpa. The Chinese ambassador to Honduras highlighted, for example, the increase of about 21% in total trade between the two countries in 2023, reaching more than $1.9 billion. Honduras' exports to China almost tripled during this period.
Under the leadership and strategic direction of the leaders of our two countries, we are moving forward on a path that leads to greater political confidence and increased cooperation for mutual benefit.
Very positive year for the relation between the both peoples and countries. We have made a lot of advances in the relation. First of all, I think one is the access of Honduran products to China. Then we are right now at this moment in Beijing following up the fourth round of the free trade agreement with China. This is very important.
A number of documents have also been signed during these events in recent days. A particularly important one was a cooperation agreement allocating $275 million in Chinese funding to renovate, build and equip schools all over Honduras. Another highlight has been the presence of Chinese NGO GX Foundation, led by the vice chairman of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, Leung Chong-ing. The NGO is coming to the country to assist in fighting dengue fever, a growing problem in several Latin American nations.
I'm very pleased to be here to offer to the people of Honduras medical and public health assistance. This is the first time after working in three African countries and three Asian countries that we're here in Central America.
Trade and investment are key aspects of the diplomatic relations between Honduras and China. But cultural exchanges also play an important role in this relationship.
An event at Honduras' National Identity Museum offered guests a display of Chinese and Honduran culture in the form of dance, music, and food, while allowing for guests from both sides of the world to mingle and deepen personal contacts. The Honduran culture minister says one idea is to promote the exchange of professors in artistic fields.
China y Honduras.
Es una oportunidad.
It's an opportunity that on behalf of the government of President Xiomara Castro, we can demonstrate this friendship that we want to strengthen and embrace through the art, theater, music and painting. We want to have more technical exchange. We want to exchange teachers in the arts, painting, music, and etc.
After only 1 year of diplomatic relations, important developments have already happened, and both sides seem to be set on continuing to evolve this relationship. Paulo Cabral, CGTN, Tegucigalpa, Honduras.
1 year after establishing diplomatic relations, Honduras and China have witnessed positive developments in their trade exchanges. Bilateral trade between the two nations saw a remarkable increase of over 21% in 2023, reaching a total value of $1.91 billion. In June 2023, China's General Administration of Customs granted permission for the imports of various Honduran products, including fresh bananas, coffee beans, and aquatic products. This move significantly boosted Honduras' exports to China, surpassing $81 million that year. Furthermore, in the same month, China and Honduras signed a memorandum of understanding to promote the Belt and Road Initiative, with a particular focus on strengthening cooperation in clean energy and low-carbon technology. Additionally, the two sides signed an early harvest agreement as part of their free trade agreement negotiation, allowing Honduran shrimp exports to China to benefit from tariff-free treatment. Chinese Vice President Han Zheng says China will continue its efforts to create a world-class business environment. Han made the remarks in a speech at the Invest China event in Beijing. The event is Ministry of Commerce and Beijing Municipal Government's platform for countries to learn about investment opportunities in the country.
The key to attract foreign investment is to expedite the pace in creating a market-oriented, legally binding and internationalized business environment, which will allow foreign firms to settle down and grow in China without concerns. In the past few months, Chinese government paid high attention and issued policies and measures in response to a number of concerns raised by foreign firms, including cross-border data flow, fair bid for government procurement, and life and work permit. We will continue to shorten the negative list for foreign investment, concretely guarantee national treatment for foreign companies and provide more efficient and convenient professional services so as to attract more foreign investors to invest in China.
A world at the crossroads of change.
What is Asia's answer? Turning global challenges into win-win opportunities.
Through the theme, Asia and the World, Common Challenges, Shared Responsibilities.
The Boao Forum for Asia convenes to address the biggest issues defining our future.
And be part of the dialogue that shapes our shared future.
The Boao Forum for Asia is underway in South China's Hainan province. The four-day event runs into Friday. Topping the agenda are discussions on global security, the world economy, science and technology innovation, and the impact of AI. The forum's annual report released this morning says the momentum of Asia economic growth and regional economic integration will remain robust, even as the global economy continues to face uncertainties and divergence. Da Kai has more from Boao.
Despite external economic challenges, the Asian economy is expected to maintain a relatively high growth rate in the coming year. At the press meeting of Boao Forum for Asia Annual Conference 2024, Secretary General Li Baodong released the flagship report, which says the Asian economy's growth rate, aided by strong consumption and proactive fiscal policies, is expected to surpass that of 2023, reaching around 4.5%.
The theme of this year's annual conference is Asia and the World, Common Challenges, Shared Responsibilities. The challenges facing the world today are complex and varied. Only by jointly addressing these challenges, shouldering responsibilities together, strengthening cooperation, can the international community push the world onto the track of peace and prosperity.
The annual report says regional integration continues to move forward in Asia. Officials say the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, has taken a step forward by supporting the development of intra-regional trade and investment, as well as closer links between industrial and supply chains. They think this addresses the negative impact brought by fragmentation of the world economy.
The global economy is gradually emerging from the shadow of the pandemic, and technological innovation is bringing new growth drivers. The forum hopes that through discussions at this year's annual meeting, the wisdom of all parties can be condensed, and the strengths of Asia and rest of the world can be combined to overcome difficulties and create a better future.
Nearly 2,000 representatives from over 60 countries and regions and more than 1,100 journalists from over 40 countries and regions attended this year's annual meeting.
The annual report says the overall economic performance continues to be promising against the backdrop of a tough external environment and internal challenges. Officials see progress in regional frameworks like RCEP and believes emerging technologies like artificial intelligence are unlocking new avenues for regional collaboration. 大概 CGTN in Boao, Hainan Province.
In Boao, CGTN interviewed some participants and talked about China, about Asia's economic outlook. Take a listen.
In 2022, Asian economies experienced a net outflow of $10.4 trillion in aggregate investments, while absorbing $8.8 trillion in aggregate investments. There is still a deficit, highlighting the necessity for Asia to further broaden and deepen its financial markets. There is hope for even greater advancements in the future.
In 2024, major Asian countries' capital markets, foreign exchange markets, bond markets, and banking sectors are expected to achieve stability, owing to the steady economic recovery and the deceleration in external monetary policy tightening.
Countries across Asia have reached a consensus on achieving economic integration. To further promote regional economic integration more effectively, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership can enhance its rules and standards, expand cooperation areas, and increase its membership to allow more countries, businesses, and labor forces to participate in specialized production and division of labor.
So I think that the Belt and Road Initiative is also a very good Chinese policy. It's good for a couple reasons. This is important not only for the success of Chinese companies, but also for China to take its responsibility to help other countries who are less fortunate to develop further. And China has been sharing some of its green technologies with other countries. It's also been doing things like helping to develop railroads, like light railroads in Africa, so that people can collaborate better and also be more green efficient in transportation, as opposed to if everyone uses cars. So I think the Belt and Road has been really useful. The Belt and Road Initiative has also been useful because it has adapted. It's adapted to have a focus on green technologies. It's also adapted to have an electronic focus.
For more updates on today's agenda at the Boao Forum for Asia, let's cross to my colleague Lily Liu at the venue. Hello, Lily.
Hello, Junfeng. This is day one at the Boao Forum 2024. And with me here today is my new friend, Mr. Dennis DePoe, who is Global Managing Director at Roland Berger. So, Dennis, we've been to Boao for a couple of years now. We know that on day one, we were always looking forward to one thing, that is the Boao Forum for Asia would release its annual report on Asian economic outlook and integration progress. And this year's report states that China will be and remains as the cornerstone of global economic recovery, and that China will remain as a major contributor to global economic development, with the entire world sharing and benefiting from its massive market. Now, let's delve deeper into this report with Dennis. Dennis, what do you think are the key highlights from this year's report?
I've seen several features. So one of the features is a dynamic Asia in a volatile world. Dynamic Asia because Asian demand is strong, and domestic demand in Asia is driving its growth. And that growth, although it's declining slightly versus 23 in the forecast of the report, it's still very dynamic. It's still 1.5% more than global growth, and it's significantly more than the other blocs, so the European Union or the US. And this will remain for the next couple of years. Of course, this also comes in a volatile world. So exports to the rest of the world are down 9% in 2023. And that's, of course, weighing on the demand in Asia for manufacturing. So I think that's the first feature. The second feature is more integration within Asia, more integration of the Asian factory, mm-hmm. With Chinese companies offshoring to the rest of Asia, with reconfiguration of supply chains to simply benefit for more competitive advantage across Asia. Also benefits from RCEP, the treaty, which is lowering down tariffs, and from the now strategic partnership started in 22 between China and ASEAN, which is also creating a good platform to ease quite some of the Asia intra-trade issues. And last point is the reconfiguration of the supply chain with Asia also picking up added value. This is mostly driven by China at this point, and this is why Chinese companies are actually offshoring to the rest of Asia. So they keep the added value and they offshore to the rest of Asia, lower added value production.
Mm-hmm. And also, Dennis, when we arrived here and this year we figured that the BFA Academy actually conducted surveys on the economic confidence around Asia and around the world. And that survey shows actually about two-thirds of those respondents believe that the global economic growth would decelerate moderately or maybe remain unchanged in year 2024. What do you think are the main risks that the global economic is faced this year?
There are so many. There are so many. I think we see them already. The main risk I would put under the cover of fragmentation. I think globalization is still going on and will not stop. So Asia is and will remain the factory of the world. But it's getting a bit more fragmented with two blocks, basically, and some regions or some countries trading with both sides, if I want to be a bit schematic. And that's the biggest risk, because the less integration there is, the less global trade there is, the less growth there is, generally speaking. So I think that's the biggest risk. We see also logistical bottlenecks. Look at the conflict in the Middle East, creating Red Sea issues for shipping. So that's very practically harming global trade and shipping, just like during the COVID period. So we're having this again, over and again. And this will push for diversification, will push for de-risking. It's not a geopolitical issue, or it's a different kind of geopolitical tension. And in this case, it's happening. And of course, the war in Ukraine keeps dragging down Europe. So I think we have all these risks. And in the meantime, what does that mean? It means we continue to live in a high interest rate world, which hinders investment, which particularly impedes investment for the emerging countries. So this will slow down potential growth going forward. So I think that these are the main issues going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the meantime, this same survey actually showed that confidence in Asia's economic development was a lot more rosy picture, we would say. I have to say, use that word, because what do you think are some of the key, let's say, highlights or spotlights in Asian economy that it can help to inject some stability into world economy?
Well, I think first of all is the transformation of the Chinese economy. I think that's very important. It's very important for China to sustain the growth objective. I don't think the figure is so important, the 5% objective. I think what's important is the transformation. Can China invent a new China story around industrial modernization, higher added value, around decarbonization, so a lower and lower carbon content for its manufacturing, and then basically drive the rest of the world by two things: by being able to produce the low carbon content products that we need elsewhere in the world, but also produce all the components that go into green technologies, be it solar PV, be it batteries for electric vehicles, be it electrolyzers, components and system. I think that's the first the first thing that Asia can do for the world. Its domestic demand will also drive imports. I think what we are seeing also is that Asia is somewhat dependent from the rest of the world also because it's exporting. This has a negative effect, but that negative effect was corrected slightly because the U.S. economy is actually doing better than expected in the last quarter. And as a result, Asia is better because it exports to the U.S. That's a benefit of globalization we should never forget.
Mm-hmm. And also, how do you think our disruptive technologies, let's say generative AI or maybe blockchain, is going to change the economic landscapes?
Well, I think there's been a lot of dreams and fantasies about AI and generative AI, of course, and a lot of buzz and a lot of money flushing into companies, and that's a good thing because it's making progress. The real revolution is certainly around generative AI because it creates a human interface or human compatible interface with machines, with AI. Now it breaks down to a myriad of small use cases, and it's all about productivity. What the world needs to push its growth is productivity. It's nothing else. I mean, growth does not happen by itself. It's driven by productivity. And what AI does, it's bringing productivity. It's bringing productivity for banks, automating a number of tasks. It's bringing productivity for telco companies. So for all the mass market that has millions of clients to handle, it's better services because the machines will help. It's bringing productivity for machine tools that can do more intelligent things, can produce on demand thanks to AI and generative AI. So there are myriads of applications. It takes time to integrate those applications in ERP system, in manufacturing system. So let's not dream that there is a productivity jump. It's not going from the steam engine to the electric engine, or from the horses to the steam engines. It's not happening overnight. By the way, I think the horses stayed a while the steam engines were already there. So we're going to have the same effect. But it's changing. And why is it important for Asia? Because Asia is a manufacturing region. Right. So this is where most productivity is needed for the benefit of the world, but also for the benefit of the Asian people that will get more income thanks to this additional productivity.
Okay, great stuff in Gradings. Thank you very much, Dennis. That was Mr. Dennis DePoe with me. So it's going to be a very eventful four-day forum here at the Boa Au. We're going to bring more updates on that. I know Dennis will be attending three sessions and speak at three sessions. Also, we'll keep bringing you updates and highlights from this year's Boa Forum. Please stay tuned. Back to you, Jingfeng.
Thanks very much, and thanks, Dennis. Enjoy the very nice weather there in Hainan. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership has been in effect for over 2 years, exerting a significant impact on participant countries and the global economy. For more on this, let's turn to our correspondent, Chawara Yungjiranan in Bangkok. Chawara, tell us more about your observation.
Well, you know, as you mentioned there, RCEP has been a very significant deal, not only for Thailand, but for the rest of the Asian region when it comes to specifically post-pandemic. And the past 2 years, we've seen that Thailand has a boost in exports to 9 countries under the RCEP agreement. Namely, for example, we have Japan, China, and Australia. And the amount of exports, as reported in January 2023, was very significant. It was up around 1,039% year on year, with a value of $97 million. Now, products in Thailand that are being exported range from agricultural goods to industrial goods. For example, from fruits and vegetables, durian, to electronic parts and automobiles. And there's also been an increase in use of RCEP to try and to support and give more opportunities for Thai entrepreneurs looking to penetrate the global market. With trade with fellow members of RCEP. And there's also been a jump in marketing and employment opportunities as well, boosting the efficiency of the economic ecosystem, not only here in Thailand, but the rest of ASEAN. And on the other hand, we've also seen interest from investors from China looking into coming to Thailand because of the benefits that could come from RCEP. Overall, RCEP has strengthened economic ties, not only within the region, but also with the region and major powers such as China. And there's hope that there's going to be more integration for the year to come.
Thank you so much. That's Chawara for us in Bangkok. For more insights on the CDF and Boa Forums, we want to bring our guest Gao Yingning, Associate Professor at School of Policy, Public Policy and Management of Tsinghua University. Thank you for joining us. A billion CDF or Boa Forum, why are global companies eager to engage in discussions with Chinese policymakers and local partners?
Okay, thank you for your question. I think there are two most important, advantage of China. One side, China is still the manufacturing powerhouse. And so especially the first 2 months, you can see the surge of China's export again. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, on one side means why expert from McKinsey said the next China is still China. The second is China's domestic market. After the building of a universal domestic market, it has already become one of the most attractive market around the world. So a lot of multinational companies, from Apple to Volkswagen to many others, they have already treated China as one of their most important markets. So I think these two sides will make China maybe the most abstracting destination of these multinational company CEOs.
What are some of the favorable policies for foreign companies in China this year, in your view?
From my perspective, I think there is an important policy in our opening up policy in the government work report that we will fully adopt the negative list of the cross-border service trade. I think this is a very important signal for the next step opening up to the outside world. It is actually beyond just the products, but now to all areas of service. I think that will be a very exciting news for all multinational companies from outside China.
Right. Thank you so much for your insights, Mr. Gao Yunning from Tsinghua University. U.S. aircraft manufacturer Boeing has announced a widespread corporate shakeup to try to restore its battered reputation. The Seattle-based company's chief executive and other leaders are stepping down after a string of safety issues. Ellen Fairclough tells us how this shakeup can impact air travel.
How much will the departure of Boeing's chief executive help the besieged aircraft maker recover from its crisis? Dave Calhoun's announcement follows a string of safety and quality control issues, mostly involving Boeing's 737 MAX. Wall Street appeared to approve, Boeing's stock edging higher when trading began on Monday. But the company has lost around a quarter of its market value since January, when an Alaska Airlines 737-9 MAX door panel, missing four bolts, blew out midair. The 737 MAX's reputation had already been badly tarnished after two fatal crashes within months of each other in late 2018 and early 2019. And when regulators discovered a litany of safety and quality control lapses, they grounded 171 737-9 MAX aircraft worldwide. Last month, they gave Boeing 90 days to produce a quality control plan so it can resume full production. And the head of Irish budget carrier Ryanair says passengers will pay the price for that backlog in new aircraft deliveries to airlines.
If you have constrained supply, strong demand, I think it's inevitable that you're going to see airfares bump up again this summer. I think between 5 and 10%.
If shareholders are welcoming Boeing's decision to clean house with other top executives following Calhoun's lead, experts say one of America's most storied companies now needs to restore both its customers and passenger confidence. Owen Fairclough, CGTN, Washington.
Now we wrap up this edition of Global Business. I'm Jennifer in Beijing. Stay with us.